Massive welcome to all of you today, and especially our mothers. Whether you are a mom or not, you're definitely mothering in this world in some way or form. And so we hope that you've enjoyed your brownie on your way in. If you haven't, you've got my permission to grab at least another one on your way out and maybe take one extra to share with the mothers in your life. We've made more than enough for Durban North and beyond. Even for those at home, if you want to pop in before 1 o'clock this afternoon and come for a drive-through brownie at the coffee corner, you're more than welcome to do so. Today, we're going to start a brand new series through the book of Acts. And so would you turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. We're going to read together from verse 1 to 8. And as you make your way there, I would like to remind us of the historical context of today's reading. Now, as a church, we've recently concluded a series through the book of John. And for those who journeyed with us, you would remember that the Gospel of John ends quite abruptly. The last few chapters, Jesus has risen from the grave, and then John records a few meetings that Jesus has with people post his resurrection. He sees Mary at the tomb. Jesus appears to the disciples behind closed doors, but Thomas wasn't present at the first appearance. And then when Thomas heard about this, he got his nickname Doubting Thomas because he didn't believe it. And then Jesus appears to them again behind closed doors, but this time Thomas is there and Jesus helps Thomas overcome his doubt. Then John also records the breakfast at the beach where they had fish and chips for breakfast, which is interesting. It's not how I would like to start my day, but some definitely would. And then John concludes his gospel account with a conversation between Jesus and Peter, where he restores Peter as well. Now, here's some self-study for those who are interested in this coming week. How about you go home and read all the concluding accounts in the gospels from Jesus' resurrection to his ascension and pick up on the little differences that you might find. And here's a little hint for Luke's gospel. So after the resurrection of Jesus, he appears to two believers on the road to Emmaus. A very interesting conversation takes place there. And then Luke records that Jesus also meets with Simon Peter. He also meets with the disciples behind closed doors, and Thomas is present. So I think that's the same account as we find in John. And then Jesus also appears to the disciples in Jerusalem before his ascension. Now, I think that the closing chapter of Luke and the opening chapter of Acts refer to the same event. And so there's a bit of, you know, cheat work for your homework. There are other differences that I would like you to also pick up on. But the big thing that I want you to do is to go and study those differences and the little details and ask the Lord to reveal something special to you in that this week. That's the historical context for today's reading. Now, let's read together. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." I want us to just pause here for a brief moment and focus in on verse 4, where it states that the disciples had to wait for the gift the Father promised to give to them. And here you can just imagine Peter's face, where, as we've noted throughout the Gospels, I think that he struggled to wait for most things in this world. He was in the boat, Jesus is on the water, he's out of the water, on his way to Jesus. All the other disciples are waiting to check this thing out. He's in. He's going for it. Who also firstly declares that he's not going to deny Jesus at all? Peter. Who chops off somebody's ear when the soldiers rocks up, you know, to come and arrest Jesus? Peter. He's not going to wait for anything. And so I have a lot in common with Peter. And I think most people who know me very well would agree. I just want to get on with it. What's this waiting business? Jan, you've got to learn something from Peter here. You might lose an ear. You know, it might come back to bite you. But I think most of the disciples also struggled with this waiting command in Acts chapter 1. Where for most of them, they've been eagerly waiting for hundreds of years for the restoration of Israel. The glorious restoration. And now Jesus has been crucified, so for a brief moment, all hope is lost. That idea of restoring Israel to its glory is gone. But then, Jesus is risen from the grave. And so that hope is back and they're on fire. And Jesus spends 40 days once again with them, teaching them about the kingdom of God and how they need to go and restore God's kingdom in the future. And once again, I can just see Peter going, okay, that's it, 40 days, let's go. You've taught us everything we possibly need to know. Let's get on with it. And then Jesus says, wait. I think Peter's like, come on, man. We've got to go and share the good news. We've got to go and overpower Rome and restore everything again. And Jesus says, wait. And I think for most of the disciples, if you read verse 6, they felt the same way. Like, okay, we're going to wait, but let's just go and get on with it. Let's go and restore Israel. And Jesus says, no. Wait. And verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. Excuse me. Oh, how we need to hear this today. Don't know about you, but sometimes I know what I need to be focused on. There's this goal that I've got to do. But then somebody tells me I've got to go and wait in a queue to get that done. Like going to the traffic department to get your license renewed. We all have to do it if you want to keep on driving legally in this country. And so with me, I've got to plan this way in advance. I've got to take a book with, maybe a playlist on my phone so I can listen to some music while I wait, because I cannot stand waiting, just waiting. Something has to happen. I have to be productive while I wait. And so I think Peter felt the same way. And the disciples were like, okay, we're going to wait, but can we just do something while we wait? And friends, it's so easy to get distracted in our modern day context. I don't know about you, but you're at work and you're busy focusing on something really important. Then you get a WhatsApp message or a phone call. And then your mind drifts for a brief moment. And it's so hard to get back to where you need to be in terms of finishing the job that's at hand. Jesus wants to give us a gift here this morning. He wants to teach us to wait sometimes. He's been teaching me that for the last 7 years, and probably with a bit of interest too. But we miss out on so many good things if we run ahead and we don't wait. And just notice the disciples here. Jesus says, wait, and within seconds, their minds have moved from the gift that is promised to the purpose that they think needs to happen right now. And in their defense, they've been waiting for a long time. I can understand where they're coming from. But if they carry on without the gift that was promised, be willing to say that most of the work that they were going to do would just fall flat. If you are anything like me, I like to get things done. But at times we need to wait. And if we carry on reading through the book of Acts, you'll notice later on in chapter 15, where Peter and the others get brought in front of the Jerusalem council for spreading the gospel. And they get into serious trouble. And Gamaliel states that if these oaks are doing what they're doing by their own power, this will not last. It will die off in their generation. And so the waiting for the gift of God was so important for the disciples then that if they didn't wait, you and I most certainly would not. Sorry, there's a really big bird walking in the back of the church. Sorry, online people, you've got to be in the room to experience this. He wants some brownies or he wants to hear the gospel. I hope it's the latter. Somebody save that bird. All right. Okay. Right. If these disciples left Jerusalem and didn't wait for the gift, I agree with Gamaliel and the whole Jerusalem council, the gospel would probably have stopped in their generation. And you and I would not be sitting in the room today. If these disciples decided to just carry on with the work of God and spread the news, eventually it would have worn off. Because let's face it, in Jerusalem, there were only a few people that would understand anything that they had to say. There were only a few people that would even, via the grapevine, would have heard what just happened. That Jesus Christ was just brutally crucified on the cross of Calvary. And only a few people, a couple of hundred, saw Jesus alive post-resurrection. And they didn't have the internet back then. Nothing could go viral back then. They had to literally spread the news verbally themselves, go and tell a friend and a friend and a friend. And there were only a few people. And if they only relied on their own strength, I agree with Gamaliel, it would not have gone very far. Maybe Jerusalem, maybe Samaria, but to the ends of the earth, I don't think so. And the reason I say so, I don't think Peter and them could speak Afrikaans or Zulu or Xhosa or English. It would have stayed in the Greek or in the Hebrew and Aramaic communities, and that's it. And you and I are evidence here today that when the Holy Spirit empowers someone, the message of God will go to generations upon generations, and it will even reach us right here in Durban North in a language that we can understand. And that's what they had to wait for. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit to empower them so their message would have eternal value and would carry on past their generation. The disciples didn't wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't think the gospel would have reached us. All of their works, all of their teachings would have died off in their generation. But the good news is they waited. They waited and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now you and I are sitting here today. Aren't you grateful for that? Aren't you grateful for Peter's patience in that moment? For a small group of people going, okay, we want to go and change this world, but let's just wait. Because the power that we need to take this message to the far corners of the world will be given to us in a few days' time. Let's wait. I don't want us to just skim through this very quickly. The importance of waiting. Regardless of where you are in your life at the moment, whether things are really good and everything's going according to plan, or things are really bad and your world seems an absolute mess, or you're somewhere in between. I don't want us to miss this. Waiting upon the Lord is crucial in every stage of our lives. Whether things are good, whether things are bad, or whether things are just okay. Because I've discovered myself that it's in the times of waiting that I grow more and more each day. Far better than in the mountaintops. And sometimes even better than in the valleys. Just wait. Just wait. So if you need God to do an incredible thing in your life right now, just wait upon Him in prayer. It's like, Lord, please, please could you save the children, all of them. We had an article the other day of the amount of children that get kidnapped and sold off around this world. Like, Lord, please could you change that right now? It's like, yeah, I'm just pray. I'm busy. But Lord, come now. It's children. Yeah, and just pray and wait upon me. I'm busy working. Just wait upon me. And many other things that I can list today. But the most important thing is let's wait at times. Yes, at times you can go. But you'll know when you can go because you've waited. It's like waiting at the traffic light. If you wait for the green light and you go, you're not going to crash. person last night in McCurton didn't realize that. Okay? How many times have they replaced those traffic lights? We need bigger ones. Maybe with a speed bump that comes up and down beforehand. Okay? It's just, it happens all the time. Because people aren't willing to wait for the green light. But at times we have to wait. And at times you can just go because the light is green. Now let's go have a look at what they were waiting for. Yes, they were waiting for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But why? Why? Why do we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? I think the biggest reason, I think, is that you and I will struggle to live God-glorifying lives in our own strength. We might get it right for a couple of days and maybe a couple of weeks and a couple of months. But eventually we grow tired and weary. Eventually the world knocks us about a bit too much and our strength is just not there anymore. And in those moments, and particularly those moments, we need to be able to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit that is far greater than ours. So that you and I can live God-glorifying lives every day in our mountaintop experiences, but also in the valleys. And I think that's why the disciples were so successful. I don't think that their early days in the early church were that easy. I think it was quite hard, knowing that every time you shared the good news, you might die for it. They had to walk hundreds of kilometers, not drive or fly, walk to go and spread the good news. I don't know if you've ever walked from here to Ashaka. It's far. And walking back, even further. But they had to walk kilometers to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. And at times, they definitely grew weary and tired. And at times, they might have walked into a town and there was just a hostile reception. People were very rude, like, get out of here. And they become discouraged. The reason why they carried on was because of the power of the Holy Spirit, not because of their own strength. And I think many of us, if not all of us, would agree that we need to heavily lean on the Holy Spirit's power every day of our lives. Because we are called, just like they were, to go and spread the good news about Jesus Christ. And if we're leaning on our own power, if we're having a bad day at work, and God says, go and share the good news, it's very hard to do that when you're leaning on your own strength. If you go, Lord, please empower me to go and share your love with this person right now. Although I'm having a bad day, I do believe that it'll be a lot easier for us to do so. In verse 8, Jesus told them, if they waited for the gift of God, they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the world. This is where I get extremely excited. Like, hard to contain myself excited. The Great Commission is the most important thing you and I could ever try and achieve and spread, ever. But you and I cannot spread it on our own. We need the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit to do so. Does that mean that every single person in this room needs to become a pastor or a missionary? Well, it'd be nice. Hey, if we had 120 pastors, we send them out, go plant a church in Belito and somewhere else, and it'd be awesome. It'd be awesome to have so many missionaries. But what about you spreading the good news, the love of God, in your classrooms, in your medical practice, in your business, as you drive on the roads? How about we do that? How about we work as hard as we possibly can and earn as much money as we possibly can so we can fund the spreading of the gospel to the far corners of this world? And friends, I believe that you'll only be successful in spreading the gospel in that particular environment if you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. Because only the Holy Spirit will ensure that what you're doing has eternal value and will last past your generation. If you and I try and do that in our own strength, when we die or we retire from that business or we sell the business or we stop working, Many retirees will tell you this. They become forgotten. Hey? By the companies you used to run or the classrooms you used to teach. Forgotten. But when you do what you do, the power of the Holy Spirit, and He guides your every step, your every word, your every move, I firmly believe, and we're evidence of that in this room today, that what you do and what you say will have eternal value. You might be forgotten, but what you said and did never will, because the Holy Spirit carries that all the way into eternity on our behalf. And so teachers, whatever you do for a living, whether you're a pastor, professor, doctor, whatever it is, light yoke, code with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do everything that you do with that in mind. Because then the gospel will keep going to the far corners of the world. The message of Jesus Christ and the hope that He brings will keep transforming lives. But if you and I try and do all of that in our own power, it won't go that far. It will die off in your generation. But if we rely on the Holy Spirit, He will make the impossible possible. He will help us all overcome the evil with good in this world, because He will live in and through us to the glory of God. And eventually the good will overcome the evil because we'll outnumber them. Eventually all the hate in this world will be softened by the love of God, because those who are empowered by God will simply show them a better way. Eventually abuse will stop across this world because we'll understand what loving your neighbor is truly all about. Because more and more people are doing it with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If we struggle with this, just look at the people in the room next to you today. They are evidence that it is possible, that it can work when people rely on the power of God to spread His gospel. Today we're about 100 people sitting in this room. Back then there were 11, 12, maybe a few that aren't mentioned in the gospels in the room that day when they were told to wait. And when they received the Holy Spirit, a group of 12 people spread the good news so that billions today declare that they've heard it. How about the whole world? How about 8 billion? Wouldn't that be awesome? Where 8 billion people are transformed by the power of God. There'll be less crime. There'll be less abuse. No children will be kidnapped and sold into slavery, because we have discovered and helped others discover the love of God that has the power to transform anyone and everyone. The question is, will you do the same? Will you do what the disciples did that day? Will you wait upon the Lord if you have not received the gift of the Holy Spirit yet? Say, Lord, please come and fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit so that I can go out and live God-glorifying lives again. And maybe you're sitting in this room and you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but you are struggling. You are tired. You are weary. And just the thoughts of sharing the love of God with somebody else really, 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 really doesn't float your boat. On the contrary, it feels like it's sinking it. It feels like it's a heavy burden to carry. May you be inspired to come back next week and rediscover the power of the Holy Spirit. May you come and see that He wants to empower you to be the best you can possibly be, so that in all that you do, you glorify God. And when others see your good works, they give glory to the Father. And their hearts get transformed and inspired to accept His gift of love, just like you did. Friends, if we can get this right, the world will change. And so today, may you leave here thinking about the power of the Holy Spirit every moment of every day. And as you study the scriptures, may the power of God inspire you to, if you need to, change your business, change your working environment, change your calling if need be, so that you can glorify God in and through everything that you do. And if you're doing that already, may you be empowered to never stop, because you don't know what impact your words and your actions will have in this generation and the next. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word. We are most grateful for your Holy Spirit, and that your Holy Spirit is freely available to all of us right now. We ask, God, that throughout this week, that you would nudge us day by day to keep sharing your good news with this world. And for those of us who are tired and weary, remind us of your power. Enthuse us again to serve you with all that we've got, to spread your word, to share your love with a world that is in desperate need of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together as we share in the benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.